Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. We'll never forget it, though. Wow. Thanks to everyone who was with us today and who was listening along on the stream there. But that was we've been through a lot of these, but that was pretty special. That was we're going to be rehashing and listening back and re-editing and pulling some things together. I imagine Chris Tannehill is like doing cartwheels down the hallway of the studios right now as he's been able to put something together. I can't wait to listen to the score throughout the day. Thanks to Brian Gerch. Thanks to Jay Zawoski. Thanks to Adam Studzinski, Ray Diaz earlier for helping out as well. And now it is time to hand it over to Lawrence Holmes for your next 2 hours. Well, that. What do you think?
Man, that was just, wow. You know, here's the thing. I laid out an hour before the press conference how the press conference was going to go.
Like I retweeted
all the,
you.
Yep. All the things that they were going to say, and like a bingo card, they hit them pretty quickly at the beginning of the press conference. As milquetoast and as perfunctory as I thought it was going to be, it was worse. Like that's the thing that what I felt like listening to this, and I'm using like my calm like NPR voice for most of the show today because I've done all the things that I've needed to do earlier this week. So I'm gonna try to stay on point and in the pocket today. This is a really terribly run organization. Like that was the conclusion that I came to in watching them go through all of these things. Of the four men who sat there and tried to tell you that everything was okay, the only one that's even close to believable is the coach. And It was kind of sad to see George and Ted fumbling through answers to legitimate and pointed questions about how they could allow for this to continue. And talking about accountability, it's a sad day because I think that there's always been this feeling of how poorly run the Bears are. And I think that for 87 minutes, it was on display. The leadership of that team thinks that their fan base is not sophisticated to understand what is wrong with them. And it's really, really unnerving for them to use the 6-game losing streak as if it was some sort of rallying point.
Like, positive.
And here's my thing, Dan. Okay, let's say that you go into the playoffs and you win a couple games. And as we do the retrospective on the 2020 season, you go, you know what really solidified it for us? We had some really big discussions where we decided that we needed to make some changes during that 6-game losing streak. And it bore fruit. There was no fruit that was bore of what happened during the 6-game losing streak. And them holding it up as some sort of badge of distinction that they were able to keep things together. It's been one of the things that's annoyed me for the bulk of the season. It's annoyed me that they keep talking about their culture like their culture is the ish. They keep talking about it like they are out here doing something that no other team is doing. Well, our team stayed together. Congratulations. That got you an 8-8 season and two embarrassing losses to finish the season, where our culture is great. You know, everyone's here together. Congratulations. Your culture took a player that was coached for 10 to 15 minutes with video, and he still ended up falling for the banana in the tailpipe. We got a great culture. Congratulations on your culture. 4 years in, you were still not able to fix the quarterback that you drafted. And it really irked me when you hear them talking about collaboration. Two things on this, and I know that I'm eating up. I know you guys want to get in because you had to sit through that whole thing. One, it's corporate speak, man. It's corporate speak, and what it does is that it takes the responsibility and it makes it everyone's responsibility.
Diffusion.
Right. And what it does is that no one's accountable because everybody's accountable. And the proof that I have of that is if you go back to when the Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky, what was Ryan Pace doing? He was going around the room pointing at people saying, we had collaboration on this. This is conviction. This guy, you wanted Mitch, right? You wanted Mitch. You know who wasn't in the room? John Fox wasn't in the room because all reports indicate that John Fox wanted Deshaun Watson. So sure, you can say that your general manager has grown because now he's going to allow his head coach to be part of his draft plan for a quarterback. But if that's what your GM did with the first swing, and then you see what their collaboration brought with Nick Foles being the quarterback that they had decided on, what faith should there be for any Bears fan to think that they're going to get this thing right?
The 6-game losing streak was born of bad football decisions that were made by the exact people we just heard from today. It was the culminating process of bad football decisions. You can talk a lot about culture, but you know what I think of when I think of the NFL culture? The old quote that NFL stands for not for long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of us who get to have that kind of cushion where we get to learn on a job for 6 years. I've never held a job for 6 years. The same one. It's fascinating to me.
It's crazy to me. And Dan, you said it. And it was when I was listening to it, it amazed me because it lends credence to what you and I for 20 years have dealt with callers at the score. The idea of they don't care about winning. They offered you an opportunity. They don't care because the actual standards of success in the NFL has to do with winning. That's what it is. It's about winning and losing. So you can tell me that everyone up there is all booed up and all hugged up and they love each other and they're working together. If they're working together, they should be working together towards the goal of winning football games. And they haven't accomplished that. And over the last 2 years where you have George say, I look at this as a losing season. Yeah. So what makes you think that after a season when you didn't win because you were 500 and then a season that you're concluding is 8-9, why in the world would you allow the same people to be in charge? And another thing that has been on my list of notes and one of my biggest complaints about how things are going to change or stay the same is, why in the world would you let Ryan Pace dictate the future of this franchise for the next 5 years? Because that's what's going to happen with the quarterback drafting. You're allowing this guy who's already had 6 years of your franchise to now dictate the next five because he's going to be the guy that pulls the trigger on the quarterback that you draft. There's nothing in his resume with the Bears that tells you that he is qualified to bring in another quarterback. There's nothing you can point to. There's no quarterback that you can point to that Ryan Pace has brought in that says he knows how to scout a quarterback. And if your reliance is going to be on the coach to help you get the quarterback, then you don't need the GM. Then there needs to be someone else who is out here making the decisions.
They never made a case for him to be qualified. They just made a case for him as a collaborative man of character. And when they did say that, when they came close to saying that things weren't okay, it was the passive voice. Have mistakes been made? Yes. Not saying any one person made a mistake, not having anybody accountable for that mistake. The distance for me for between what they say and how they say it, the number of times they mention accountability is inversely proportional to the actual amount of it. It's the difference between word and action. And they love talking about accountability. They love saying it. And the more they say it, the less of it there actually is, despite the fact that what they do has a giant actual scoreboard.
And when you hear George talking about, like, I was listening to you guys and I was listening to Dan like reset, knowing that he was just grinding his teeth and wanting to give this the business, the old school afternoon show business. When he said Michael Bidwell, I laughed out loud. I was like, that's who you went to for advice. That's the person that you're, and then he follows it up with, you know, this is a league where you're not sure, you know, who you can trust. And exactly, George, mm-hmm. These teams all, they don't want you to do well, fam. Like, they might want you to do well financially, but they don't give a rat's ass about what the Bears' record is going to be. And they would love to have you be one of the teams that they don't have to worry about because of the way that your organization is constructed. Like, the dysfunction that was on display during that press conference, they should look back. Like, if they really are, we will do anything, that we are evaluating everything, they should look at that press conference again. Like, as a group, they should look at that and go, we looked like we didn't know what we were doing. And that is the biggest problem of it all, that the charter franchise of the NFL doesn't have anyone that any fan trusts running the football operation.
Well, you could even tell in one of the questions that was posed to Phillips and McCaskey when they were talking about accountability. You could tell that there was a moment there of pause and some reflection when it was addressed. Who do you trust? Who else do you talk to? Okay, but who else do you talk to?
Yeah.
And right? You could tell. And I understand that they... Listen, we all value fans. We all value people being in the seats for a stadium. You call our station. We all value that. But that's not the only way you measure the success of a team. Well, it's just not.
And
you sure don't go to your competition to ask football decisions.
Right. And with George, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I've had some interactions with George when I was covering the team and since I've left being on the beat. I genuinely like him. I also think that he genuinely cares about winning. I don't think that mm-hmm. he knows how to do it. And I think that he relies on people that have sold him a bill of goods for a really long time. The fact that we're even talking about Ryan Pace, like, learning on the job after 6 years, like, that's crazy. And when you're going to put such an important piece to your franchise's future in the hands of someone who has failed you repeatedly with quarterbacking contracts, it is astonishing. It's also astonishing that they didn't want to give up the secrets of the contracts. Like, it's just, like, really? Like, you don't want to let us know that Ryan has another year or that Matt has two? Like, the idea that they were asked pointed questions about specific things and then wanted to be vague about those things. And then when you ask a kind of an overarching question and they want you to be specific, it was... all of the things that a lot of people like us hate about corporate America. Like, what we saw was incompetence being justified at the highest level of the organization. And it's a frustrating thing for a fan to see, because these are the doubts that are in every Bears fan's head. These are the things that you look at and go, is it really like this? Like, is this the way that this organization is run? Is it really run like a poor mom and pop where they've had this flim-flam dude come up in here and tell them, no, everything's fine. And then when you look at his record, when you look at Ryan Pace's record, there's no justification for him continuing as your general manager. If you want to justify Matt Nagy, I've been okay with it, and I'll probably continue to be okay with it. But after the way that the 2017 draft did and what that did to your franchise, what that did to Houston's franchise, what that did to Kansas City's franchise, if he can look you in the eye and tell you that he's fixed it, and then you list the quarterbacks that he's brought in, then you deserve what you get. And what you get is people wondering if you know what the hell you're doing.
This transition is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
It's like nobody told them it doesn't have to be this way. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of that going on in other areas of life in 2020. Well, what could we have done? There are people in place who can actually tell you what you could have done. There are solutions people. These are their actual jobs to fix problems like this because they are indeed avoidable. You can have a good culture and win. Do you know what helps culture? Winning. You can have both.
That's right. You just don't
have the people in place to do it.
Layla, you're so right. Like, it's this idea that they're stamping and they're telling you, well, you know, things are great here at Hallis Hall, except for the part of the job that you're all supposed to be there for, you being competitive. Think about this. You made the playoffs. You started out 5-1. You ended up 5 games behind the team that won the division. 5 games behind them after starting out 5-1. And if there isn't an examination on why you lost 6 games in a row, if there isn't a true examination on why you're not close to where the Packers are and you're not close to where the Saints are and other teams are, and if there isn't an examination, and George brought it up, they wouldn't have made the playoffs had they not opened up the playoffs to one more spot per conference. They would have been 2 games out of the 6th playoff spot if this were a regular year. They also tend to think that they're the only organization in the NFL that is going through COVID, that they're the only ones that were able to make all of these things happen, and they should be patted on the back for those things. It is such a loser's lament that we saw on display by Bears brass. It's we use the term embarrassing a lot in sports radio, and I know that sometimes it loses some of its power. But that was an embarrassing display today by the charter. And I'm gonna keep pounding that. The charter franchise of the NFL doesn't know how the NFL works.
I got a text from a friend of mine, a longtime Bears fan, and a very, very successful business person, who says, let's do a business school exercise here. Look at it from the outside in. Said, do you think any other NFL teams are saying, which franchises are we afraid of? Well, the Bears, for one. I mean, they lost 6 in a row this season. You really learn a lot when you do that. I wish that had happened to us. And then they came back and beat 3 sub-500 teams, including literally the worst team in the league, before getting blown out by 2 playoff teams, which shows resilience. Now they're coming back with the exact same leadership team, so that's a franchise you have to be watching.
Yeah, and they get advice from the Cardinals.
But I mean, think about that idea of that they have that 6-game losing streak where it showed their resilience and how they can stick together. Well, that's exactly what we need. Why couldn't we have had a 6-game losing streak to prove our resiliency? I mean,
also,
it's preposterous.
Was one of the people named? I'm still on the competitor consulting thing because that is just blowing my mind. Did he say John Mara?
Yeah.
Because the Giants have it together?
Yeah. Yeah, because they've got everything figured out over there. And
congratulations, Giants. You're not the Jets. And you almost made the playoffs, even though you only won 6 games.
And the way that they fumbled the end of Eli, it was actually because of owner meddling, which George says that doesn't want to do. And I know that you guys, look, I'm already holding you up too long. But in cases like this, where if George says that he's feeling it, that he's talking to fans about all of these things, maybe this is the portion where it's okay for you to go in and say, this isn't good enough. And it's hard for me to make a case. Like, if I were put in charge of defending Ryan Pace, like if they said, okay, all right, counselor, you have to step before George and Ted and you have to make a case on why Ryan Pace should stay, I could make a case for Nagy. I feel confident that I could make a case for him. There's no way you can make a case for this dude. And you can't make it based on the capital that he has given up to get some of the players that haven't lived up to the expectations that he thought that they would. The fact that he hasn't got the quarterback part right. The fact that 30% of his salary cap is on the defensive line. A defensive line that, while in some cases were productive, didn't get you what you need. The fact that you gave $33 million to a safety who has regressed over the last 2 seasons in the way that he plays the game. yeah, there are some victories in there. There's even if you want, like, I think the jury is probably still out on the Khalil Mack thing because Gruden can't get it together in Las Vegas, even though he's been given a treasure trove of players because of that deal. There are victories in there. There are victories like Akeem Hicks in drafting Roquan Smith. But even at the end of that, this is a defense that has to be rebuilt. And this is an offense that has to be rebuilt. Your general manager did all of these things in the last 6 years. Why should he be rewarded with another opportunity to get it right?
Because he's a man of character. Lawrence, this is going to be, it's going to continue to be an absolute must-listen score day. So that's what I'll be doing the rest of the day.
I'm really looking forward to you all because, like, you all did the rest of us a solid today. Like, it ate up your show. So I'm looking forward to your actual review of this thing tomorrow when you both can kind of sit down and go, what the hell was that? And talk to the people about it. But I appreciate you both for holding it down and letting the people hear that.
Thanks, Lawrence. Appreciate it, man.
That is Dan and Layla, the Bernstein and Rahimi Show, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until noon.